I want to read a little from chapter 14. I feel like this is what the Lord gave me tonight. So opening the Bible here, seeing what he'll say. No, chapter 13. I'll get it right in a minute. In the 13th chapter of the 24th verse of St. Mark. But in those days after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. And the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender, and putteth forth the leaves, you know that summer is near. So ye in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh even at the doors. Verily I say unto you that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment, of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of this ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the bearing. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went unto the chief priests to betray him unto them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he sought how he might conveniently betray him. And the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, where wilt thou that we go and prepare, that thou mayest eat the Passover? And he sendeth forth 2 of his disciples, and saith unto them, go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. And whithersoever ye shall go in, say ye to the good man of the house, the master saith, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared. There make ready for us. And his disciples went forth and came into the city and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And in the evening he cometh with the 12. And as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. And they began to be sorrowful and to say unto him one by one, is it I? And another said, is it I? And he answered and said unto them, it is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goeth as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and brake it and gave to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out unto the Mount of Olives. And Jesus saith unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto thee that this day, even this night, before the cock crows thrice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee. In any wise, likewise also said they all. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he saith to his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Neither wist they what to answer him. And he cometh the third time and saith unto them, sleep on now, and take your rest. It is enough. The hour's come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Into the hands of sinners. Rise up. Let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. And immediately, while he yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. And he that betrayed him had given them a token, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Take him and lead him away safely. And as soon as he was come, he goeth straightway to him and saith, Master, Master, and kissed him. And they laid their hands on him and took him. And one of them that stood by drew a sword and smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus answered and said unto them, are ye come out as against a thief with swords and with staves to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and ye took me not. But the scripture must be fulfilled. And they all forsook him and fled. And there followed him a certain young man having a linen cloth cast about his naked body. And the young men laid hold on him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. And they led Jesus away to the high priest. And with them were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. And Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest. And he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. And the chief priests and all the council sought for witness against Jesus to put him to death, and found none. For many bare false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together. And there arose certain and bare false witness against him, saying, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. But neither so did their witness agree together. The high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him and said unto him, art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am, and ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes and saith, what need we any further witness? Ye have heard the blasphemy. What think ye? And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. And some began to spit on him and to cover his face and to buffet him and to say unto him, prophesy. And the servants did strike him with the palms of their hands. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, and thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. And the maid saw him again and began to say to them that stood by, this is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom he speak. And the second time the cock crew. And Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crows twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And then when he thought thereon, he wept. You know, here Jesus told Peter, said before the rooster can crow twice, you'll deny me three times, Peter. Though Peter vehemently stated, I will not, I will not. You know, I got brethren here, they take that same outlook. They say, Brother Pike, I'm going to stick with you. All the rest of them might leave you, but I'm going to stick with you. And they tell me about what they want to do and what they can do and what they will do, and they do nothing. They do nothing. When the crisis come, when the problems come, when the load is heavy and someone has to carry it, you can't find hiding a hair of them. They can talk, they can boast, they can say all kind of things. But when it comes right down to it, they do just like Peter. You'll find them cursing and snorting and swearing and denying and finding fault and ready to leave the church. And Brother Pike to them is a hypocrite and all kind of things. But when everything gets rosy and everything gets just right, you'll find them right on the trail and you'll find them right with the brethren, and they've got the most to say and they've got the most to do, and they're right in there, right ready to eat the cake, eat the cream, and drink the milk just as hard as they can go. That's the way hypocrites are. If you notice, Peter was the very one that even after he raised the dead, walked on the water, healed the sick, and done all those things. Peter was the very one that, according to the Bible, did not follow the will of God. And Paul had to rebuke him to his face. And Peter was the very one that Jesus had to say to him, get behind me, Satan. And Peter is the very one that the Pope of Rome and the lineage of the papacy refer back to as being their leader. And Peter is the very one that was turned upside down and crucified as a symbol of the fall of Satan from heaven. Whereas Jesus said, I saw him fall. Get thee behind me, Satan. In every respect, you find this, see? So then, people who do the things that they do and make the boasts that they make, a lot of times they don't know what they're saying. They'd be a lot better off if they would come and say, Brother Pike, or say to the Lord, Lord, I can do nothing of myself, but God, if you'll give me strength, if you'll help me, Brother Pike, if you'll love me, I'll love you, and we'll work together, and I'll do my very best, and I'll succeed by the help of God. He'll give me strength, and he'll stand with me. And if they'd take that kind of outlook, and you sisters that are so haughty, so contrary, so self-willed, if you'd break that old spirit of yours, that old haughtiness of yours, and you take that same humble attitude that you're nothing but the dirt, and that you're not even going to even get near the kingdom of God if God doesn't have mercy on you, then you could do something for God. But every person that's got that old haughty attitude, that's got that old self-will outlook, that's got that old thing that they feel that they're something and everybody else is nothing, every person like that will die and go to hell. Did you know that? There is but one strength, and that strength comes from God. There is but one way, and Jesus said, I am that way. There is but one word, and that's the word of truth. And until you submit yourselves unto God and unto leadership, unto the ministry, until you thoroughly break your spirit and submit yourself unto the ministry, then you're going to die and go to hell. You're going to be lost. I lay in Zion a stumbling stone of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever falleth upon this stone shall be broken, but upon whomsoever that this stone falleth, it shall grind them to powder. And so then, it is a true fact that we have to humble our heart. We have to humble our spirit. We have to call upon God. You know, one thing that pleased God about Jesus was this outstanding thing in his life. The prophecy of Jesus, it was stated that I care for him and he is special to me because,
He will call upon my name from the rising of the sun until the going down thereof. Jesus found favor with God for one reason, and that is he called upon God from the going forth of the sun unto the going down thereof. And brother, when we get to the place to where we're willing to call on Christ from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof, then God will be pleased with us. When we get to where we meditate in the laws of God day and night, and we don't have any time for our own thinking and our own plans and our own desires, our own evil surmisings, our own understanding, then we find favor with God. The trouble with the Bethlehemites is that you think too much. You lean to your own understanding too much. When you come into the house of God, you don't come in with thanksgiving. The woman I reproved a while ago, she was sitting there with her own mind, her own thoughts, confident that she's a spiritual person and confident that God is with her. You know, confident that God is with her because she feels special in the sight of God. But I want you to know, you're not special with God. As a matter of fact, your very attitude makes you repulsive in the sight of God and makes God frown on you. But that one that went up into the temple that beat upon his chest and cried to God and asked God for help, that was the one that got God's favor. You know, you can do the same thing at Bethlehem that the Jewish people done. You can get that idea that we're the Bethlehemites. God's with us. We've got the revelation. Everything's on our side, and God will just move off and leave you and go out there and pick up somebody else. So then you need to humble your heart. You need to humble your heart. You need to humble your heart. You need to get down to business with God. Break your old haughty spirit. Get down to business with God. Get away from your temper. And get away from your ideas and your thoughts, and I'll fly all over you, you know, if you rub me wrong. Don't you know you don't have the Holy Ghost? Don't you know a man that'll fly up in temper don't have the Holy Ghost? Come on, folks. A man that's got a temper that'll fly up in temper, he don't have the Holy Ghost. There ain't no way he could have the Holy Ghost. A man that will lust after the things of this world and desire the things of the flesh, he doesn't have the Spirit of God. There is no way that he can have the Spirit of God. The Bible said Jesus is our example, and we are to follow in his steps. We are to follow in his steps. He did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. The Bible said to be ye therefore perfect, even as thy Father in heaven is perfect. And the Bible tells us that we must perfect holiness unto the Lord. We must take time to be holy, and we must perfect holiness unto the Lord. Can you imagine God bringing the seed of Abraham, as we would say, out of the land of Egypt, hundreds of thousands of people, babies, wives, children, all kind of people, elders, young, whatever, bringing them out of Egypt and then killing every one of them that came out of Egypt, except Moses and except Joshua. And then turned and took the life of Moses and just let Joshua and Caleb, one other, that he spared, go into Canaan. Can you imagine that? He killed every one of the elders that came out of Egypt. He didn't spare one of them. He killed every one of them. And it was the children that he raised up and took into Canaan land. Now, don't you know that if God would do that, that God isn't going to spare the people of Bethlehem? Don't you know that if Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that he'll have to do the same thing to Brother Pike, and the same thing to Brother Taylor, and the same thing to you that he'd done to them people back there? If he doesn't do the very same thing to you, then he isn't the same yesterday, today, and forever. A lot of folks would say, well, Brother Pike, those people was under the law. That's what makes the difference. We're children of grace. He isn't going to deal with us like he did them people. This is the mistake that the church is making today. That's what's wrong with the church world today, especially the Pentecostals. They've got some idea that that was back there under the law and that God dealt with them in a certain way, but he won't do that today. But did you know that the Bible said concerning the woman, when he said, let the women keep silence in the church, he said, as also saith the law. I didn't change that, Jesus said. Not one jot, not one tittle of the law will pass away. Not one jot, not one tittle. And the Bible said every person that's fallen from grace is still under the law. And they must be judged according to the law. So then, living in this day wherein we have grace, that doesn't have anything to do with salvation. Grace to this dispensation, grace to this people, doesn't change the law or alter the law one bit. It doesn't have anything to do with salvation. You know, the church world is so blind, they're completely swallowed up. They don't understand. The day of grace has nothing to do with salvation. Not anything. The Bible teaches that this dispensation or this age of grace, that God in this grace age is pouring out of His Spirit upon everybody. It don't make any difference if you're a murderer, a harlot, a liar, a cheat. That bankrupt town's getting along just as good as you are. Have you ever stopped to think about that? The dentists and the doctors, they're getting along just as good as you are. As a matter of fact, a whole lot better. In this day of grace that we're living in, they're getting the cream of the crop. It has nothing to do with salvation, not anything at all. So then there's only one thing that has to do with salvation, that's righteousness. That is righteousness. And that righteousness must come from God, whereas that does come to us through grace. But I say so many times, not this dispensational grace, wherein everybody can feel the presence of God, in that He's pouring out His Spirit upon all flesh. Not this dispensational grace, wherein people are getting by with murder, and they're getting by with all kind of things. Whereas in the Old Testament, God would have killed them in a minute for those things. Stoned them to death. Disobedient to parents. The parents sometimes had to cast the first stones. Now, that means that God is saving you not by this grace that you're getting in the dispensation. That dispensational grace is not for you. That dispensational grace is to allow for the wicked out yonder. And it's to allow for the hypocrite. That dispensational grace has nothing to do with you. If it wasn't for that dispensational grace, God would literally destroy the world. You get a benefit out of it. You get a benefit in that you have time to develop. You have time to perfect your ways. And God is allowed for that. But they're the ones that's getting the benefit out of it. If you don't believe they're getting the benefits out of it, you just wait until the blood comes off of the mercy seat. And then you let the wrath of God fall on them, and you'll see how much benefit they really did have while that grace was here. But though you're not getting the benefit of that grace, in this sense, that you are instructed in righteousness and you're chastened all the day long and you're killed all the day long as sheep to the slaughter. You're chastened. God is causing you to walk upright. And God is chastening you because them that He loves, He chastens. He doesn't chasten them people out there. They get the benefit of that grace. But you're chastened all the day long. You've got to live right. You've got to be holy. When that grace is taken away, it won't do you a bit of good. All the days that that grace was here, it will not have done you one bit of good. Not one bit. You will die with the rest of them. But if you'll take the grace of God that's appeared unto all men, bringing salvation, teaching you that denying worldly lust and ungodliness, that you should live soberly and righteously in this present world, if you'll accept that kind of grace that comes from salvation, then you can be a Christian. Folks, don't make the mistake of thinking that they were under the law back there, and here you are under grace in the day we're living in. Did you know that those people was just as much under grace as you was? The Bible said the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. God saved Abraham just as much as He saved you. As a matter of fact, Abraham was the father of the faithful. People didn't just start believing when Calvary come. People hasn't just started being justified by faith just since Calvary come. The Bible teaches that Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death, even before the law or before Calvary came. So then, people have got things misconstrued because God is lenient with them, because His Spirit is being poured out, because there's revival in the land, because things are happening and God's making allowance. Then they've got the wild notion that God is loving, God is good, and the kind of loving and good that God has to offer the people is that He's going to save them in spite of themselves, and that He's just going to let them get by with all of the evil, wretched things they have done because they shed a few tears like Esau did, and because they say, "Jesus, you know that I love you. I'm just as wretched as I can be. I do just as contrary as anybody could do, God. I gossip, backbite, find fault with my neighbor, tear down, don't help, do nothing. But, oh, Jesus, you know that I love you." And they've got the wild idea that because of that, grace is going to take care of it, and they're going to make it in. But I tell you, it'll never be that way. It's just like the voice that spoke to me when I had the experience a few days back. The voice was Jesus, and Jesus said, "Everyone will be rewarded according to his works. Everyone will be judged." That was the impression he left upon me. And the words he said, it has to be according to the works. Now, so then by your works you'll be justified, and by your works you'll be condemned, and by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. He that worketh the works of righteousness, he is righteous. The Bible said he's righteous even as God is righteous. But the only way to work the works of righteousness is to have the Spirit of righteousness. For if you don't have the Holy Ghost, he isn't going to guide you into any truth. He isn't going to guide you into any righteousness. You're not going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You're not going to go in with God. You're not going to do anything that's righteous because you don't have the Spirit of righteousness. You have your own spirit. You have your own desires. I come to church here and I watch, and people half-heartedly come to church, like I say, whenever they get ready. They half-heartedly give to God. Sometimes at the men's meeting, they actually slip out or slip away to hide, to keep from giving to God. I come here and women run to and fro down to the fellowship room because they're carnal-minded and don't care for the things of God. Use the babies as an excuse to go down there and sit, gossip and backbite and find fault. The men do the same thing. Sometimes I step here in the room just a little late to give Frank time to start, to go down here to kind of get them out of the men's room. They're down all in the hall, all outside, all down here. You know why they do that? Because they don't have God's Spirit. They don't have the Holy Ghost. Those women don't have the Holy Ghost. Those women that want to go to the fellowship rooms with the babies and stay down there and always go into, they don't have the Holy Ghost. And those men that are always getting up right in the middle of the sermons and always going down and slipping out at men's meeting, standing around out here and standing there, those men don't have the Holy Ghost. You say, "Why get excited, Brother Pike?" I can get more excited than that. Some of them's hypocrites, men and women alike. They backbite, they gossip, they cause problems at little Bethlehem. They keep the spear in my side all the time and the thorns on my head all the time. They never cease with their evil corruption. They're like an evil, corrupt spring. All the time, their mouths is giving off corruption. Somebody say, "I don't like that." I don't care if you don't like that. It's true anyhow. That's the way it is. I'm not preaching what you like. I'm preaching what the Bible says. Now then, what we need to do is get right. We need to get the Holy Ghost. Somebody say, "Well, I'll get temperamental." Well, get temperamental. And explode and run off like a Roman candle if you want to. That ain't going to bother me. Some of you do it anyway. When you get out of my presence, you might as well do it in my presence. Because some of you folks think you're temperamental and you're going to fly up at Brother Pike. You're going to cause him to get nervous and shaky. You're not going to bother me. You can spit your teeth out of your mouth. That ain't going to bother me with your temper. You're going to have to live right or you're going to die and go to hell. I say this to you. I say this to all that hears my voice, wherever they hear my voice. It is serving God in the spirit of holiness, or it is dying and going to hell and burning in a lake of fire. It's going to be that way. And folks, let me tell you, the tribulation period is close at hand. It's not far away. Some of you men are so bad after women, you can't control your passions. You can't control your thoughts. And when you sit in my sanctuary, I feel your old evil, corrupt, rebellious minds. And some of you women, you're so filled with lust that you're like a dog drooling at the mouth, an old slut. You can't stay holy and clean in your mind and in your body and walk right. And some of you are such gluttons until you can't do nothing but eat. And some of you are so gullible until you got to have every dollar you can get your hands on. Even if you have to, cut your employees short, if you have to take their money, if you have to get to the place to where you won't even pay them. And then you call them all kind of ugly names because they ask you they're not the one that's ugly, you're the one that's ugly. I said here a while back, somebody got upset because somebody come and said, "You owe me a few dollars." They said, "You're in the wrong spirit." They wasn't in the wrong spirit. The man that owed them the dollars, that tried to cheat them, that man was in the wrong spirit. I might say, "Well, I think you're getting a little loud." Well, I'm trying to get like a trumpet. If you'll help me say amen, I'll lift it up like a trumpet. Just a little hoarse tonight, having a little problem. Now, folks, you're going to have to quit playing around. You're going to have to quit telling me that you're a Christian and coming to me. You've really got me tore up over these things. You tell me that you love God and you're going to do this and you're going to do that when you're doing the evil, low-down things that you're doing. Robbing and stealing and cheating and swindling. Don't you know God don't have any use for you? Don't you know that God don't want you? Being so gullible that you got to have every dollar that you can get hold of, while the rest of the brethren just about work their fingers to the bones. I've seen them when the blood come out of their fingers, whether it was trying to do something for God, and you worrying about what you're going to have in this world and what you're going to get in this world and what kind of little nest you can feather in this world, and cutting them off and cheating them and robbing them and doing everything else to them. You're going to go to hell, fella. The women are going to go to hell the same way. With this foolishness that they're carrying on, they're going to go to hell the same way. Jesus said, "You're the one that's going to betray me." Judas, you can say what you want to. He said, "But when the time comes right down to it, you love the dollar. You love the world. You love the things of the world." And he said, "Judas, you're going to betray me. One of you that dip in the dish with me," Jesus said, "you'll betray me." I've had a lot of betrayers here. I've had numbers of them that dip in the dish with me and betray me. I've had numbers of you to do it. I had a man the other day. I sat there and listened. He come down to visit with me. He's having problems, real problems with his church. Real problems. You know what kind of problems he's having? People are blasting him. People called him all kind of names. People saying all kind of things against him. And he told me, said, "I finally found out what's wrong." I said, "You did?" He said, "Yes." And he told me all of these things. And I sat there and I thought, God, he's having to feed out of the same plate that he fed the brethren out of. Too much prestige out there when the brethren was going through their hard places. And people was lambasting and saying things against him. He couldn't hold up for them because he had too much prestige. He had to rub elbows with the celebrities and let the brethren go and join the crowd. But today, you know what? The brethren's gaining prestige. And the brethren's being talked about in a good way. But he's sopping out of the same sop of evil. And it's tearing him all to pieces. But you know, you reap what you sow. I couldn't reason with him. I couldn't talk with him. Some of the rest of you are going to do the same thing. You won't work with the brethren. You won't hold the name of the brethren up. You want to rub elbows with somebody. If they get to talking and downing the brethren and tearing the brethren down, you don't stand with them out there and have a voice to rise up and say the right thing. You just go along with the crowd. And someday God will get your number. Someday God will get you. But people, tonight I felt that I needed to say something to you, because there's a very few people here at Bethlehem that's going to heaven. I mean, I've got very few here that's going to heaven. Some of you that's been in this way, as you say, for years, you're not going to heaven. God has let me know that you're not going to heaven. And you've been in this way for years. Some of you went far enough to fast. Some of you went far enough to pray. Some of you went far enough to give. But you still ain't going to heaven, because you can't bridle your tongue. The Bible said, if any man that seemed to be religious among you, and that's women too, and bridleth not the tongue, that man's religion is in vain. I don't care how religious you are. If you can't bridle your tongue, your religion is in vain. God isn't going to save you. You've got to stop that kind of thing. Young boys and girls bickering, backbiting, carrying tales. And some of you girls are not little girls anymore. You done grown up. We put up with that kind of foolishness to start with. It's like I told my wife today, I had to go down to the creek to get Joe and Danny. And I said, Betty, you're going to tan their hide. I said, you let them out, so you're going to tan their hide. I gave them a whipping, I believe it was day before yesterday, or just recently. I gave them a good whipping. But I said, Betty, you were supposed to be watching them. There they was, little Jonathan Lambert, Joe, and Danny, down there in the creek. Now, you know what? There was a vision where a little boy got drowned, or a little child got drowned down there in that creek. That could have been your little boy. That could be my little boy. There's Wayne's little boy down there. I was down there. Was Timmy Pike down there? Was Junior Beretta down there? And there was Timmy. There was a number of them down there. Nobody watching them. Nobody looking after them. Don't you know God's going to get some mothers for that? Don't you know God's going to get some daddies for that? Don't you know that God is going to have to do something about that? And don't you know that the devil will take those little children and literally tear them to pieces? Because daddy and mama's not paying any attention to them? Somebody said, well, why get so excited? I'll tell you what, let them put your little boy in a coffin, or my little boy in a coffin, and roll the coffin in here, roll it up yonder, and then you'll get excited, but it won't do you any good then. The time to get excited is now. They need the leather on them. They need a whipping. They need you to quit talking to them and do something about it. Like I told somebody at men's meeting the other night, we started saying something, and somebody said, well, I had a talk with them. I said, you don't need to have a talk with them. I said, you need to take a belt and give them a lashing. That's what you need to do. The Bible said, spare the rod and spoil the child. If you love the child, you'll correct the child. That's what's wrong with them now. You won't whip them. Talking to them. I've had more trouble out here at Little Bethlehem with people that rose up against me when God actually showed me visions of their children and the wretched things that they were doing, and showed me the parents. And the parents was in there with the wretched things they were doing. Right now, they've got all kind of problems with them too. Folks, we need to live right. We need to do right. We need to be godly. We need to be holy. Brother Pike loves to preach Revelation. I love to take hours of just soft talking and just talk to you and tell you about these wonderful heavenly things. But there comes a time when you need some reproof and you need some rebuke, and you need to get that ugly, evil spirit off of you and break your spirit and get right with God. I know some of you ain't going to do it. Some of you are going to take that old spirit like that. But I can promise you one thing. Jesus said, young feller, or whoever you are, he said it had been better if you'd never been born into this world than to bow up against God and betray the things of God and come against the things of God. It had been better for you if you'd never been born into this world, he said. He said, the people come to get me. He said, and the Son of Man goes that way to the cross. He said, but I'll tell you one thing. He said, woe unto that man that caused the problem. It upset Jesus. He popped the whip. He turned over the tables. He drove the money changers out. And he said, Judas, you'll pay for this. They'll nail me to the tree, but woe unto the one that's done it. He said it'd be better if he'd never been born into this world. Some of you hypocrites here, it'd been better if you had never been born into the world than to be the hypocrites you are.
and to do the thing that you're doing.
Some of you people here on the campground, it'd been better if you had never been born into the world than to have taken the attitude that you've taken toward me and toward this. This thing is fast coming to a close. Even the death of Sadat and what I read to you tonight about the end of the world. The end of the world. It'd be better for you to have never been born. When you go into the lake of fire and the torment and the torture begins to come upon you and the screaming and the agony. Folks, it'd have been better if you'd have never been born into this world. Been better if you'd never been born. But I tell you, I talk to you, I warn you, I try to break your hard, evil, contrary spirit from this sacred desk. Do my very best to get you away from that old evil thing. To break your spirit, to make you bow down to the things of God and serve God. But you ain't going to do it. You ain't going to do it. Some of you, you're not going to do it. You're hard-headed. You're always got a temper, always wanting to fight, hurt somebody, going to do something. All the time you like that. Or backbiting, gossiping, always carousing around. Or you got to go around doing the things of the world. Won't get your mind in God. Won't get your mind on God. Won't get your mind on holy things or godly things or spiritual things. You won't do it. Though I scream, though I holler, though I preach, you won't do it. You're still going to have your mind on the things of this world. And you're determined, I don't care what Brother Pike says or how many sermons that he preaches or anybody else preaches. You're determined to do your thing. You've got something in your mind that you're going to do, and that thing is going to take your life doing it, the years of your life doing it, but you're still determined that you're going to do it, and just as quick as you do that, you're going to do something for God. But I've got news for you. You'll never get that thing done because God will see that you'll never get it done because you put off God to do it. And if you ever do get it done, you'll lose your life if He allows you to go that far. So then, folks, you need to get right with the Lord. We had that little sag here a while back when everything went down. And God help us to get the thing straightened out because some people care. What you need to do is be a man. Be a real woman. Stop your foolishness. Stop accusing. Stop calling people things that they are not just because you don't want to pay them their salaries. Stop saying evil, mean things to them. You know that's wrong. Stop planning on what you're going to do and start planning on what God's going to do. Start thinking about Jesus. God will let you do your own thing. He let Judas do his own thing. He went right along with the crowd. Judas stayed right with the disciples, right down to the very last minute, as we say. But he let him do his own thing, let him tag along. But brother, sister, he's in hell today. He walked with them disciples. He saw the wonderful things of God. He enjoyed the wonderful things of God. He even obtained part of that ministry because he believed. But he's in hell today. I love you. I appreciate you. But I felt like exhorting you tonight. I felt sure that God wanted me to exhort you tonight because some of you are getting way out of hand and way out of balance, way away from the will and things of God. And it's time that you repented. And it's time you begin to consider. It's time you begin to call on Jesus. You say, Brother Pike, I thought we was doing better than ever. No, you're not. Many of you are doing worse than you have since you've been at Bethlehem. You need to do something. You need to get right with God. You're getting carnally minded. And the Bible said to be carnally minded is death. To be hungering and thirsting after the things of God every day, every minute, keeping your mind continually on Jesus and calling on Jesus, praying always that you may be accounted worthy to escape the things that's coming on this earth. Break that old evil spirit of yours. And I know you don't have the Holy Ghost. I can feel your spirit, some of you. I know you don't have the Holy Ghost. Your very spirit and presence that comes toward me lets me know that you don't have the Holy Ghost. Because it's a carnal repercussion. It's a carnal mind. It's a carnal flashback that I feel. Whereas people with the Holy Ghost, they are sheep that are killed all the day long. The outer man is continually killed by the Word of God, and that inner man pushes in closer and closer to that Holy Spirit,
closer and closer to that eternal reward and that eternal security. That man on the outside dies, continually dies. His thoughts, his thinking dies. You know the way the outside man dies is your thinking. You know the way you faint, you faint in your spirit, you faint in your thinking. The Bible said don't be weary and faint in your thoughts. When you give a repercussion, you give it in your thoughts. When you get away from God, you get away from God in your thoughts to be carnally minded, to lean to your own understanding. For you just to be you, just for you to be you, is the worst thing in the world you could do. Just to be you. Because when you are you and you think as you, then you're in trouble. You need to kill out you. You need to kill out self. You need to get rid of it, and you need to think according to the Bible. Think according to the Word of God. If you don't know it, you need to get with somebody and learn it. You need to get some Bible tapes. You need to get the Bible. You need to read. You need to study. The Bible said, give yourself unto study. Study to show yourself approved. Grow in the knowledge of the Lord, the Bible said, that you might grow in the grace. Learn the Word of God. Learn what it says. Learn to think what it says. Learn to live what it says. Learn to be what it says. Otherwise, you're not going to make it into the kingdom of God. I love you. Felt like saying these things to you. Trying to chop up a few roots and cut down a few stumps. Bust a few hard rocks. Thought about it today. Betty brought a coconut in, or somebody did. And I thought that's a hard thing. I looked at it. You know, they look like a monkey's head. Three little things, you know, but if you can scrouge out one of them there, cut him out, you can turn the juice up. I thought, Lord, that's a hard-headed thing, but if I had something to bust it on, there'd be some good come out of that thing. And Betty brought me the Miami stone. It had to do with something, and it did. I popped it about three times, and it cracked all to pieces, and out come the goody. And I done like Samson. I helped myself. That's the trouble with us, folks. We're too hard-headed. If God could bust that old hard head of ours when it comes to the natural and get us into the mind of Christ to listen to God, get that old beast head away from us, then the wonderful head of Jesus Christ would come upon us. And how beautiful it would be, the wonderful honey in the rock that we could enjoy. But you got to get rid of some of them thoughts. When you come into this church, stop coming into this church thinking the way you're thinking. Stop standing around outside and in the halls and everywhere just talking till you get your mind all muddled up like a mud hole. Don't do that. Don't get out there with the swines of the world and wallow in the mud of their old filthy mind. They're jesters. The Bible said, don't be joking among you. Don't be talking about things among you like you talk about. Brother come the other day, and he was talking about filth. He had to detail it. There's some people, they have dreams, and they just got to detail it and get right down into the filth of the thing. You know why? Because they got the spirit of the devil, and they love that slop. That's why they want to detail it. They can't just tell you a dream and tell it how it is, you know, or they can't just come to you and talk to you about the right thing. They just got to get down in the filth of it. Some of you women are the same way. You get together and you have conversations, even over at my house, coming over there, trying to talk to Sister Betty. And you just got to get down into the filth, whether it be birth or whatever it is, you just got to get down into the very filth of it and make it filthy. Because you're dirty and filthy on the inside, and you're corrupt. And you're like a pig that stuck its snout in the slop. And you want to get it all over everybody else. Can't you be a lady? Can't you talk about things as decent and realize how precious many things are that God's given you? Can't you men do the same thing without going crazy with passions and just keeping your mind just fuddled up with slop all the time? I don't know of no other word for it except slop. That's the only word I know for it. And I'll be honest with you. To call it slop, it's really, when you call it slop, that's a credit to it. The word slop carries more prestige in my thinking than what you are doing. The word slop is too good a word to use for it. At least a pig can eat slop and live off of it. And the stuff you're feeding off of is so filthy until the word slop is too good for it. God's going to burn you and burn it too. There's no place in this world found for it. It is so filthy and so low down. If you want to be a fiend for the flesh, for money and passions and everything else, why don't you go out there? Why don't you get away from Bethlehem? And why don't you get away from the church? And why don't you get away from the saints of God? And why don't you go out there and get with them kind of people? Why do you want to go out there and wallow in the mess and bring it over here to us? We don't want it. I don't. And there's some other folks I know that don't want it. Don't bring it over here. Like I told the young boys, if you want to smoke your pot and dope, take it out yonder. Don't bring it over here to Bethlehem and let God kill you. Because God don't want the mess. If you want your filthy magazines and whatever, don't have them coming through the mail out here at our box. I'm going to have to change the box number because some of you got such a filthy trash coming. You love the stuff and you won't get rid of it. And you have a fit if anybody else tampers with it. You know why? Because you're dirty and filthy on the inside. That's why. You wouldn't want it if you wasn't dirty and filthy. You're dirty and filthy and you get right in the midst of God's people. And you want to sling that stuff off on them. Folks, let's be clean. Let's be holy. Let's be godly. Let's be pure. You know, I don't know of anything that upsets me with my wife anymore than if I pick up her mind and she's thinking thoughts toward me that's unbecoming in the sense that she's resentful or finding fault because I've corrected her or said something. I don't know of nothing that tears me up any worse. And God's the same way. When God is correcting you and me or correcting us, God can't stand that thing when you come back at him with that old carnal reasoning of yours. And with that old carnal, dirty mind of yours, of your own human understanding that's infiltrated with Lucifer. When you think them thoughts and you rebel against the minister, just one thought in the service, it just ruins the whole service. That one thought makes you dirty. It makes you filthy. That one thought makes you dirty and filthy and makes you kin to them that are out yonder that's in the pig pens of this world. One thought makes you dirty and filthy. You don't have to think two thoughts. One thought will send you to hell and cause you to burn in the lake of fire. One thought and you're defiled, that's all. The Bible said charity thinketh no evil, not one thought. And if you've got anything else without charity, you're just sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. So when you come into the church, come into the church with thanksgiving, folks. Somebody said, Brother Pike, are you trying to brainwash me? I'm trying to brainwash you. I've been trying for years to brainwash you because you've got a dirty brain. You've got a dirty mind. You're filthy on the inside. And I've been trying to wash you and get it out of you. You know, even an old possum is good to eat if you can get the filth out of him. But as long as he feeds off the filth, you can't use him. Chickens, they're some of the filthiest that I know of, eat everything. But folks, there's some of you that don't need brainwashing. And when I say brain, brain's not the correct word. You need a spiritual washing, not a brainwashing. You need your spirit washed. It's your mind that needs washing. Your brain's all right. God did a good job with your brain. The only reason we use brainwashing, the term brainwashing, is because that's the way you think. All right. I trust that you love Jesus. I trust that you love Jesus. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. God is love. Let's stand together. I want to help you, and I want to do something for you. I want to see you make it in the kingdom of God. I want to make it in the kingdom of God myself. If I make it into the kingdom of God, I've got to be holy. I've got to be clean. Forget about this thing about a day of grace. And because it's a day of grace, it's different and people can make it. Because they were under the law, it was a different thing. Don't go to thinking like that. It ain't got nothing to do with it. You repent of your sins. You get right with God. You call upon the name of Jesus. This dispensation of grace is just for one thing, and that's to keep God from having to wipe everything off of the face of the earth and cause the earth to open up and just swallow us up because of our wrongdoings. Giving us time to develop, to understand, to grow. You know, a person that's making mistakes, that don't know any better, that's doing things wrong, that don't know any better, that person's all right. But there ain't no such people. Did you know that? In the day we're living in. The only people you'll find like that in the day we're living in is little children. And they have to be real little, because even the smallest of them are so far advanced and so well developed. The Bible said, out of the mouth of sucklings God hath perfected praise. So there's hardly anything like that in the world to where people can say, well, I just don't know any better. There has been in the past in the heathen countries people that didn't know, people that haven't heard, but the Bible said now their words is gone to the ends of the earth. Everywhere throughout the heathen countries, even into the darkest heathenistic parts of Africa, men have gone there, lived there for years and died there. Women have done the same thing in telling them about Jesus. Folks, you know better now. You can't lean on the crutch of I don't know and I don't understand. God won't accept no foolishness like that. In the day we're living in, the law says that ignorance is no excuse for not obeying the law, because they say it's plenty of it. TV, radio, on the billboards, on the signs, everywhere. No excuse no more. So then, God expects us to live right. He expects us to do right. Let's sing this little chorus together. We sing the song, to be like Jesus, on earth I long to be like Him. You know, if you don't have that longing in your heart to be like Jesus, if you don't have that desire to be clean and holy and godly and pure and just, and folks, I don't mean just have that feeling in church after you've been preached to or scolded or corrected, but I mean when you're out yonder and them passions start rising up and things of temptation start coming before your eyes, and that alluring and that enticing and that drawing. And when that mind of God seems way back here, and that serving God seems unimportant, and heaven seems like it's not important at all, out there is when you're going to have to be godly minded and holy minded. Out there is when you're going to have to fight the battle and struggle and strive and say, away with that filth, I won't have it. I won't let these passions gnaw at me and give in to them old devils and demons that's infiltrating me. I won't be burned in the passions and lust of evil. I won't let my heart and mind go whoring after the things of the world and forget about heaven and the wonderful things of Jesus. You get out there and there's evil communications on the job. Women dressed in filthy ways and men dressed in filthy ways. Get around the truck stops and the evil, adulterous things that are going on. Go to trade for jobs and mix and mingle with people you've got no business mixing and mingling with and compromising. Being all bound up like somebody caught you in a web to where you can't even make yourself say something about Jesus, because you're so gullible and afraid that you might lose a dollar. Let's sing this song, can we? To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. On earth I long to be like Him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask to be like Him.
From Bethlehem's manger came forth the stranger. On earth I long to be like Him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask to be like Him.
You know, sometimes on the home front, we have to get a little bit evangelistic. We preach under the tent in the different places, and we preach evangelistic because people out there don't know Jesus, and we're trying to convert them and bring them to God. But sometimes on the home front, you have to get a little evangelistic rather than just tutoring the people and develop them in this wonderful mind of Jesus. You have to get a little evangelistic because they get careless, unconcerned, hard-hearted, selfish, self-willed, self-righteous. And you have to start preaching to them just like you would a sinner. That's bad, folks. Jesus loves so much just to talk with His people, to tell them the wonderful love and the wonderful things that was waiting for them. He longs so much and loves so much just to communicate with them and talk to them like I'm talking to you right now, to develop their minds for that great, wonderful event that was just ahead of them. But if people do wrong, then you have to preach to them. When they do wrong, you have to tell them of their sins. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people of their sins. They delight in approaching unto me as though they had done no wrong. But lift up your voice like a trumpet and tell the house of Jacob of their transgressions and of their sins. Let's sing this one little chorus. And you think about this tonight now. Think about the thing that I'm saying to you. As we sing this song, give me another key, Frank.
We will enter His gates with thanksgiving in our heart. We will enter His courts with praise. And we'll say, this is the day that the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice, for Jesus made me glad. Oh, He hath made me glad. Jesus made me glad. And I will rejoice, for Jesus made me glad. Oh, He hath made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. And I will rejoice, for Jesus made me glad. We will enter His gates with thanksgiving in our heart, and we'll enter His courts with praise. And we'll say, this is the day that my Lord hath made, and I will rejoice, for Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. And I will rejoice, for Jesus made me glad. Oh, He hath made me glad. Jesus made me glad. And I will rejoice, for Jesus made me glad. One more time now. We'll enter His gates with thanksgiving in our heart, and we'll enter His courts with praise. and will say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. And we will rejoice, for Jesus made us glad. Oh, Jesus made us glad. Jesus made us glad. And we will rejoice, for He hath made us glad. Oh, Jesus made us glad. Jesus made us glad. And we will rejoice, for Jesus made us. Can you sing it one more time? We're gonna enter His gates with thanksgiving in the heart, and we'll enter His courts with praise, and we'll say, this is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice, for Jesus made us glad. Oh, He hath made us glad. Jesus made us glad. And we will rejoice, for He hath made us glad. Jesus made us glad. Oh, Jesus made us glad. And we will rejoice, for Jesus made us glad. Can you say hallelujah? Praise the Lord. Jesus, You made me glad. Can you say that? Jesus, You made me glad. Glory to God. Say it. Don't be ashamed. That's the trouble now. You won't praise God. Don't be ashamed because somebody's going to hear you. Say, Jesus, You made me glad. Hallelujah. I love You, Jesus. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. That's the way to do it. Praise God. I remember what Brother Branham used to say about meeting somebody over at the marketplace. His wife would meet somebody and she'd say, hey. He said, that ain't the way to do it. He said, that's a friend. Say, hey there. That's the way to do it. That's your friend. You know, it's good to be a Christian, folks. It's good to be a Christian. I thank you for your kind attention tonight. I love you and I appreciate you. And I want you to pray for us. We're praying for you. Don't sin. Don't do wrong. When you come into this church, don't come in half backslid. Don't come in here half-hearted and half frowning because you've been out of tune all day. All day long. You get that out of your system. You come in here, when you come in here, you come in here with a sweet spirit. You come in here to help somebody. You come in here to be a strength. You come in here to be a blessing, because you never know who might need help or who might need salvation. Brother Clyde was telling me how glad he was that I give altar call the other night. Said so many nights that he just, pardon me, longed to come to the altar. He was so glad to hear me say that the altars was open all the time. He just longed to come down. I've seen the time the same way. I've seen the time when I just longed for somebody to come by and just say a confident word to me. I've been that way back through the years ago before I came to know Jesus the way that I know Him now. I have to admit that now God has greatly, wonderfully blessed and magnified Himself in my life and heart. And He keeps my heart full of the joy and wonderful jubilance of Jesus. But I remember years ago, folks, when if just anybody, just a Baptist person would have come by, oh, I was just about dead. I was just about gone spiritually. I was just pleading for God to send anybody, just a Baptist person. I've had them to come by, and I just grab them like a drowning man grabbing a straw just because they could say something about Jesus. What a consolation. I want you to slip your hands up with me now. I love you and appreciate you. I'm going to ask our newcomer, just come up from Brother Money's place, Brother Mike. I'm going to ask him to come up here and pray the closing prayer tonight and pray for you in body and in spirit. And I want you to believe tonight as our brother comes to pray. You know, today he gave me a beautiful picture that he had drawn and inlaid it or overlaid it with different things. And it was a picture of praying hands that were beautiful. He'd worked hard on them. Now, let's just lift those hands up.
You know, the Bible said, I would that men everywhere lift up holy hands. See, your hands are holy because they have been purchased by the blood, sanctified. You don't have blood on your hands. They're holy. And when you lift them up like that, it reminds the Heavenly Father of Jesus hanging at Calvary. It reminds him of Jesus hanging at Calvary. And again, he sees the blood atonement. Lift up those holy hands. Lift them up to heaven as he prays for you tonight. And let God bless you. Remember your vows to God. Remember your promises. Do whatever you can. And I'm praying that God will bless you. I'm praying that God will supply your needs. I really am, folks, from the bottom of my heart, night after night. I'm praying for God to bless my people of Little Bethlehem and to bless the children here and bless their children, bless their loved ones, and get the different ones out of trouble that's in trouble. And I'm praying that God will bless you financially and physically and spiritually to meet every need and to give you joy. I'm praying continually for you. That's the truth, so help me God. Let the brother pray with you as he comes.